Pastor Keith spoke this morning on blessings and cursings. And I'm speaking tonight, I've got a title here that, it's not my title, but I believe it's a title that maybe get us awake and realize. And the title is this: Get Ready for a Rough Ride. Get ready for a rough ride. I'm sure that you would agree with me that there are a number of aspects in the kingdom of God that are completely at odds with the culture in which we live. Because of that, whenever the kingdom of God is inserted into this world in any way, conflicts and tensions inevitably result. We certainly see that in the life of Jesus Christ our Lord. When he left the glory of heaven and became a man and inserted himself into the culture of man of that day, conflict and tensions arose and followed him wherever he went. Every time that he pointed out that the people were not living according to the principles of the kingdom, people became resentful and resistant and angry. So they often responded by attacking Jesus. Firstly, it was verbally. They tried to attack him verbally. And then finally, they put him to death on the cross at Calvary. By the time Peter wrote this letter in 1 Peter chapter 4, there's a letter about 30 years later. And some things were the same things were happening to the disciples. And as they lived their lives, which were set apart and unique and distinct from the culture around about them, they threatened the status quo. And to a large degree, that lifestyle was so distinct that it served to remind the people around about them just how wicked and debased their culture had become. And folks, as we begin to study the Word of God, I'm sure we would all agree that there are principles there that challenge us each and every day, that challenge the culture that we live in. And so these Christians experienced exactly what Jesus had to face here on earth: tremendous persecution and suffering. And that's why I say, get ready for a rough ride. We're talking about persecution. We're talking about suffering. We're talking about trials. And these persecutions, in many ways, were led by the Romans, especially one of the emperors, Nero. One of the most wicked men in history. It is said that his anger was directed towards the Christians who served as a constant reminder of just how evil this man was. And so as a result, in retaliation, he poured tar over them and set them alight to be human candles at his party. Or else he fed them to the lions or had them chased down by chariots. Others were fed to lions, as I said, as a public sport. Today we see that Christianity still serves as the consciousness of our society or culture. Therefore, it's not surprising as a lifestyle of those who live according to the standards of the kingdom of God expose the wickedness of this world. We can expect to face the same kind of hostility that Jesus experienced. And folk, we cannot get away from it. It is the truth. We will. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that you will not face trials. Nowhere. We will be facing trials. But I want to say this tonight, that not all suffering is equal in the eyes of God. We will see tonight it is possible to suffer for the right reasons or to suffer for the wrong reasons. And those two kinds of suffering produce completely different results. The scripture that we're going to read, we'll see that suffering for what is right brings rewards. But suffering for what is wrong brings wrath, the wrath of God. So the question all of us must answer this evening is, how do I make sure that I'm suffering for what is right? Fortunately, Peter gives us some clear answers to the question. So let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to be reading from verse 12 through to 19. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to 19. It says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trials when they come upon you to test you as though something strange was happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." Verse 15, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God, and it begins with us. What will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust our souls to the faith, to a faithful Creator while doing good." Isn't that an awesome scripture? Folk, I believe it's there to say to us, man, be warned. You're going to have a tough ride. It's going to be a tough ride. Nothing's going to be without the thorns. You don't get a rose without thorns, because they're not a true rose. All right? Some of us have briars. They're just thorns all along. There's no green stuff in between that you can grab it. Okay. But you know what? I want to say this. If it's for good that we're suffering, praise God. Let's rejoice, because there is a reward for it. But if it's because of something that we've done, as Pastor Keith said this morning, we've opened ourselves up to a curse, and it comes upon us, and we start suffering, well, don't praise. You've got to sort yourself out. You've got to get on your knees and ask God for forgiveness so that it can turn around. We've got to confess that sin in our lives. As the word has just said, do not suffer because of being a murderer or a thief or an evildoer. And that evildoer just brings everything all into one boat. And then it comes to the fourth one and it says, do not be a meddler. In other words, don't interfere, or don't put your nose where it doesn't belong. It'll get chopped off. Okay. Jumping ahead of myself. What will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Verse 14 and 15, Peter summarizes the two possible reasons that could lead to suffering by Christians in their culture. Verse 14, he points out that there were those who were suffering because of their association with Jesus and who were, like him, doing good. Those people were blessed. On the other hand, it is also possible for some people that some people were suffering because they were doing evil. Peter goes on to describe the judgment that they were going to face as a result for suffering for doing good. Wrong, sorry. So, is it true that if suffering for what is right brings reward, but suffering for wrong brings wrath? Is it true? If so, then it is essential that tonight we understand how to make sure that I'm suffering for what is right. Peter gives us several actions that we need to take. He doesn't just write it and says, guys, you're going to suffer trials. It goes back to 1 Peter. Right there, he gives you that. He tells you, as Christians, you're going to suffer trials. Nobody's going to escape it. But folk, we need to anticipate the suffering. I believe that's the first action. In verse 12, Peter reminds his readers that they shouldn't be surprised by the fiery trials that they are going through. Maybe he was at the back of his mind, he was thinking of Nero and how he set the Christians alight just to be human torches. Well, folk, you know what? Maybe this sounds a bit gross, but I want to be a human torch for Jesus. In other words, let's shine our light for Jesus. Let's be bold for Jesus. Let the world know that Jesus is the Son of God. It's time that you stand up and become bold and do what is right for the kingdom. Peter has been constantly reminded of those whom he wrote to that they ought to expect to be treated the same way that Jesus had been treated and experience the same kind of hostility and trials. It was the same message that Jesus had constantly given to his disciples during his earthly ministry as well. Peter goes on and writes the entire letter to encourage the disciples of Jesus. Who were already being persecuted for their faith. And who could expect even greater suffering in the near future. So often it has been mentioned in this church that suffering is happening in the world with the Christians. At the moment we are privileged, folk, I pray that when we do go through trials and tribulations, that we will stand up and be as the disciples, be as Jesus, stand firm in our faith. I believe that this whole thing is reinforced in verse 17, Peter reveals that judgment begins at the household of God. We see constantly in the Bible that whenever God does a work of purification or of judgment, he often begins with his people and then works outwards from there. There's never a promise in the scriptures that God's people will escape tribulation. There's never that promise. In fact, it appears that when Peter writes here, and what we see elsewhere in the scriptures, that it is often true that the believers often experience the same tribulations as the unbelievers. Harsh fact. But it's the truth. But the critical difference is that for the believer, that judgment is an act of God's love that serves to test, refine, and purify. But for the unbeliever, it is an act of God's wrath that serves to condemn and punish. Notice in verse 12 that the purpose of the fiery trials for the disciples of Jesus is to test you. The word test you is the same one Peter used in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, perishes through that is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and the glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's why we tested, folk. Straw and hay burn up, but gold, the more you put gold under heat, the more it purifies itself. The more impurities are taken out. And even though we're going to have a rough ride, even though times might be tough, I want to say this to you tonight. Be strong. Be strong. When trials come your way, begin to rejoice. Begin to rejoice. In fact, you might say, but, oh man, that's so hard. I'm going through such a tough time. Yes, I did in December. I did in November. You know what God said? Put a smile on your dial. Smile, even though it is there. Philippians, it tells us to rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Doesn't matter what you're going through, folk. I believe that no matter what trials or tribulations you're hanging on to right now, God will be with you. Because He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know what, that took me through December and even January. It's taken me through January as well. Stand here testifying tonight. Doesn't matter what trials or tribulations, what actions you take. We need to understand this. Jesus is right there with us. He's right there holding your hand. Folk, we need to remember the goals that He's given us. We want to do His will. Therefore, you know what? Part of His will is going through trials. Understand that those trials are there to test you. Understand that it's there to lift you up, to show the world that you are a better person. And you know, the world wants to see you down in the mouth. They want to see you upset. They want to see you falling to pieces. But I want to say this to you tonight. When you begin to rejoice, when you begin to elevate God, when you begin to worship God in that trial that you're going through, there's an awesome presence. There's a peace about it that you know that you know that you know that you just know that God is there for you. He's right there next to you. He says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. He's probably even holding your hand. He's probably even just embracing you at that particular moment. In fact, I shouldn't say it that way. Because I do care. I really do. You know what? No trial that you're going through is greater than the God that we serve. No trial that you're going through is greater than God will ever allow you to go through. Because He knows what you're capable of. He knows to what extent He might be able to push you. He knows. And He will give you a way out. But we need to patiently allow God to minister into our lives. And how does He do that? Ask Pastor Keith. When he's feeling down, what do? You pick up your guitar and you start worshiping God. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. When you're going through those trials, begin to rejoice. Begin to worship God because you are cementing the very fact that He is your Father. He is your God. He is alive, and therefore you worship Him, you honor Him, you show gratitude to Him by doing it that way. You see, folk, that's when we're surrendering everything to Him. That worship helps us to visualize God standing right here next to me, saying to me, David, I've got it in hand. When you don't have finances, you know what? First thing that goes out the window is your spiritual walk almost. But when you begin to worship, you're not focusing on that finance that you don't have. You're focusing on the living God. The God who cares, who provides everything for you. And it might not be the finance that you need, but it's what you need, like food or electricity or whatever the case might be. God does supply. But folk, I just say to you tonight, worship. Worship the living God as you go through those trials. Yes, I've got 9 pages of notes here, but you know what? I just feel tonight, I'm getting the look. And that's Shirley saying, keep it short. You know, even that's why I've got Jesus. Because I can get up above that. Folk, I believe that's what we need to say. I've got Jesus. No matter what the situation is, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the trials are that I will be going through, I've got Jesus. And in Jesus, I rejoice. In Jesus, I can worship Him and know that He gives me the strength through everything. And folk, yes, I'm just going to go to the end because really I don't want to keep you too long because I know that people are tired. But I want to say this. We can't be secret Christians while going through trials. Many times those trials cause us to be secret Christians. We're at home with a Christian, at work with a big bad wolf. Doesn't work like that. We've got to be consistent in our walk. If we are to do that which is good. We need to continually do that which is good. We need to continually show mercy. We want God to show mercy to us. Therefore, in equal portions, I believe we need to show the mercy to other people. While we're going through those trials, it's not easy. I'm not talking about something that's a walk in the park and, it's so nice and casual, it's like walking by the seashore. Not that easy, folk. Mark my words, when we go through trials, there are trials and there are tribulations. But in all of that, we need to rejoice. We need to be bold. We need to stand up and let the world know that even though I am being tried, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my household, we will declare the love of Jesus Christ. We will let the world know that God is alive, that He sent His Son, that His Son died and rose for us. Why? Because the world wants to give you a hard time. Now I must become a wimp and sneak away and hide. No. Folk, we need to be bold. We need to stand up. We need to teach the youngsters what is right and wrong. We need to show people what is right and wrong. We need to stand on the principles of God and declare the Word of God. We need to identify those trials. And once we've identified them, I want to encourage you to pray about them this week. And it's this that I close with. Pray that God will help you discern the source of your suffering. Is it because you live in a world tainted by sin? Or is it because of your identification with Jesus? Or is it because of your own sin? Secondly, pray that God will help you understand how you can use your trials to deepen your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Ouch. Going through a hard time. And now suddenly we sit on a thorn. I think we're going to jump around a bit. But you know what? We need to pray that God will help us understand what the trial is about, what we have to learn from it, so that our relationship with Him might be deepened and that we might be able to stand and stand firm. And pray that God will show you how you can glorify Him through your suffering. How can you glorify God through your lack of finances or lack of employment or whatever it is that you're going through? There's so many of them, aren't there? But you know what? I believe that as we begin to rejoice, as we begin to worship God, and we pray, Father, show me how I can glorify you through this suffering, the Holy Spirit will show you right then and there. You see, folk, it's all about getting closer to God. It's all about doing what God has to do. And then entrust those trials to God and keep on doing good. Say, Father God, yes, I'm going through this trial. I will go through it. I'm not just going to say, oh, I can't do this. I give up. You know, it's easy to give up, folk. But how many Christians have lost the beautiful blessing that God has for them because they just simply gave up? And folk, as we take that trial that we're going through, and we take it and we place it in the hands of Jesus Christ, and we say, Father, here it is. Here it is. Help me to continue doing good, even though this is still part of my life. Help me to do good. You see, folk, I believe if we start doing that, then we can be sure in our hearts that what we do, that when we're doing good and what we're doing is good, God will bless us. And we can be assured of the fact that if we're doing evil, wrath will come upon us. And tonight I just want to leave you with that short yes, we will face trials in our lives. But let's anticipate them. Let's anticipate them. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal them to us. So that when they come, that it's not a surprise, it's not a shock. But then let us get up boldly and begin to worship a living God. A God that cares so much for us that He places His arms around us and holds us like a mother with a baby. And when we're going hurt or hurting because of a bad relationship or because of lack of finance or whatever the case might be, I believe that the loving arms of God, the loving hands of God are there to hold us and to embrace us and to say, I love you. Someone once asked Jesus, how much do you love me? He stretched out his arms at Calvary for you and I. And folk, what awesome love that is. That even though we're going through trials, we know that love is there. It's always right here with us. His presence is always with us. That we can stand and stand firm. That we can rejoice. We can be bold. we can worship a living God. Let's do that. Let's stand and pray. Father, as we stand tonight, we know that there are many trials. We hear such negative talk around about us. Gracious Father, might we be positive in all things. Might we worship you as our living God, even though there may be afflictions, there may be trials. I pray tonight for each one here that your hand of love and joy and peace will be upon them throughout this week. That whatever they face, that you give them understanding and wisdom and knowledge on how to deal with those situations. But Father, might they never forget you, but always run to you and know that you have your loving arms open and waiting for them just to report back to you. Father, help him through their trials. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.